This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have a special guest with us, Caleb Pearson. How are you, Caleb?
Hey guys, thank y'all for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining us inside the den today. So just a quick bio on Caleb. Caleb is an investor, real estate broker, and owner of a real estate investment online application, ZoomOffersNow.com. Caleb has had his real estate license for over 10 years. He has bought and has owned his own RE/MAX franchise for over 7 years. For the last 5 years, his real estate team has been the number one RE/MAX team in homes sold in the state of South Carolina. He has sold close to 1,500 homes in his career. 5 years ago, he started a real estate investment company and has since bought and flipped over 350-plus homes. He currently owns close to 350 rental properties, including Airbnbs, long-term single-family rentals, apartment complexes, and mobile home parks. Again, Caleb, thanks again for joining us. Why don't you give us a little background on yourself? How did this all get started?
So I graduated college with a business degree. I had a job lined up in Raleigh, North Carolina, and came down for a week right after I graduated college to Charleston, South Carolina. And then was supposed to go up to Raleigh to start my internship. And I just never left Charleston. So came down, called my parents, told them I'm not taking the internship in Raleigh. I met a lady down here that kind of brought me in under her wing who had been in real estate for 20 years. And she gave me a book of leads and just put a headset on me and said, call away. And that's kind of how I started.
Wow.
That's awesome. I know you're good at building teams, and we've watched you over the years, you know, build strong, brokerage teams, you know, and then also I think with when you got into real estate investing, also build strong real estate teams. Can you speak to that as far as like what you look for and is it, you know, the type of individuals and you've always been a grinder, but also, you know, family man. I think you do a good job of both, but just what's that ideal person look like or in building a team and how do you go about it?
I mean, it really depends on the position. Like if I'm looking to hire salespeople, we have a pretty strenuous onboard or hiring process now to where we do a predictive. Have y'all heard of the predictive?
Yeah. We use it. Yeah.
So we put everybody through the predictive index test. We really like athletes, previous athletes, college athletes. We like military on the sales side, just people with discipline, because we have super rigid schedules with our salespeople, or we try to. Since they're 1099 independent contractors, we can't force them per se, but we try to develop good habits amongst our salespeople. Mm-hmm. So we look for that type of personality, high D personalities for the salespeople. And then on our admin side, we look for organized, we look for supportive. I run everybody again through the predictive index test and give everybody to Sean McCloskey, and he tells us who would be fit. Mm-hmm. And then once they get through two levels of interviews with us, they sit in front of me and I make sure they're a good culture fit. But knock on wood, we've had really good retention. Most of my guys have been with me for 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
We've met some of your guys over the years and at CG and other masterminds, and yeah, they've always been, you know, phenomenal guys.
Yeah. Well, kind of go in deeper a little bit with that when managing and training your sales team, like, what does your day-to-day look like, week look like when you train your sales guys?
Yeah, so I guess what we do now is a little different than when we first got started. But it used to be every one of our sales guys got into the office at 7:30 in the morning, and we did role-playing and sales training from 7:30 to 8. Mm. And then 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, they hit the phones, and they had a two-hour, basically, power hours all day long. And that's how everybody built their book of business and got started. Now they're not as, I guess, rigid with their schedules. They're a lot more skilled where they don't have to be. But we try to drill in good basics, and good habits from the start.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you got sales guys in at 7:30 in the morning.
I mean, something's got to motivate them, right? What motivates them? I mean, I think it's different for each individual, right?
Yeah. Well, we used to shut their leads off if they showed up late.
I that's one way to do it, yeah. Right? So you've always, as we've known you, you've been a good at nurturing relationships and building, I think, lasting relationships. Does that come natural? Is that something you focus on, or?
Yeah, I mean, I would say with your team, like having one-on-ones, having team events, we do goal setting every year. The guys love that. We do awards trips. If the team hits certain goals in each in each individual business. So the guys love to do that. Happy hours. I think anytime you can get the guys together outside of the office, mm-hmm. and when the family's involved, we've created more of like a family to where it almost hurts to leave. Mm.
Yeah.
As far as like motivating them, do you do stuff outside of obviously just like monetary incentives? That's a big part of it, I'm sure. But like motivating your sales teams, how do you keep them motivated and engaged?
So we've got certain, we do challenges. So we'll put two salespeople together against two other salespeople and then keep call it a 90-day challenge for volume. We do an annual volume challenge. We do like highest average commission challenge, and we post a score every week on the at the team meetings. So nobody, if you're a good sale, none of your good salespeople like showing up at the bottom of the scoreboard. Mm-hmm. So they see it every week. It's usually if they see themselves fall, you see their numbers climb the next week. So as long as we're staying in front of them and keeping their numbers in front of them and showing them where they fit from first to last, it's seemed to work over the last 10 years.
That's awesome. Yeah, we haven't heard. I don't think I've ever heard that.
No,
putting people together like that and challenging them against each other. So
it's friendly competition.
And we do girls versus guys in the office is what we've got going on right now, and they love it.
Yeah. So who's winning?
I think
the girls of course.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. And what do you do like as far as like your customers like to? You know, to be a great real estate agent, right? It comes down to your customer base and nurturing that customer base. How do you guys go about it?
So that's been a constant process improvement from the start. I think it all starts with customer service on the front end, like during the transaction. And then we've tried to improve it on the back end too, with doing more client events like Christmas, pictures with Santa, happy hours. We've done sunset cruises with them, just trying to stay top of mind. Mm-hmm. But the biggest way to get returning customers is to treat them like gold during the process, so they remember how well everything went from contract to, I mean, y'all know how stressful it is to move.
Right.
So just trying to make the process smooth and I guess anticipate their needs and their questions before that even comes up. So it's just been 10 years of every week just tweaking it and trying to get it as good as possible.
Yeah.
You want to create raving fans. Yeah. What you want.
Yeah.
Is there any like particular nuggets or things that you would want to give our listeners that you think that you do that's maybe makes you guys stand out differently? Is there other than?
I mean, have you ever had anyone in any of your businesses say that or complain that you over communicate?
No.
No.
Usually it's the opposite, right?
Yeah, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So our goal is we've implemented, and we started this a long time ago, is like our closing coordinator calls everybody every Monday and Thursday, I think it is. And then the salespeople talk to them every Tuesday and Friday. So they get talked to almost once a day, or they're supposed to get talked to almost once a day, all the way from contract to close. So it's if they're talked to by two different people on the staff from contract to close, most of the time you're meeting all their needs and getting all their questions answered. They're never wondering, okay, what's next? Yeah. So we've seen our client, I guess, approval rating has been a lot better.
Yeah.
The clients are happier. The referrals come in more. I don't hear from the clients nearly as much as the owner of the business with complaints. So I would say that's the number one thing is just over communication.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think now that we're, you know, in this market has shifted a lot and sales are slowing down. Like, is there anything different that you're doing with your teams? You know, whether it's motivating them, training them, you know, so that they don't get frustrated, right?
Yeah, we've really had to bring back the sales training and try to put it in every 2 to 3 weeks. I'll do like a high level sales training with these guys. They're not necessarily needing as much the basics mm-hmm. anymore. But I feel like our guys turned into order takers for the last 3 years.
Right.
Yeah. Versus actual salespeople, because everybody and their grandmother was buying and selling homes. Mm-hmm. Same with our investment business. It was easy. And now that transactions have dropped by 30-40% in the market, agents and investors are fighting for deals. Mm-hmm. So we're having to basically sharpen the tools.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's pretty much everybody that we've asked that question that's been on the show is, it's going back to the basics or back to fundamentals, I guess is a better way to put it. And training and doing the key things and focusing on, you know, like in an investment, if it's a flip, you know, you really got to have your renovations dialed in and put out a really good product, not just put out anything and it's going to sell. So I think, you're spot on.
It's kind of like the, everybody's just gotten a little fat and happy and lazy over the last couple of years. So now it's getting the fat kids back in the gym. nobody wants to do it.
No. Focus on their diet again. The party's over.
Good way to put it.
I think I run into, especially if I ever, people ask what you do and I say I'm in real estate, and then it always goes right away to usually as an agent, which I'm not an agent. Joan is the broker for our businesses. But I think there's so much interest in becoming an agent. And I think you are the best in South Carolina. So, I want to ask you directly, like, what do you recommend if somebody that just brand new thinking about getting their license, like, what do you recommend to them? What do you, you know, what's the, I guess, the good, the bad, and the ugly of being an agent?
I mean, getting it now is a whole lot different than getting it 2 years ago. I mean, everybody was getting their license 2 years ago because everybody was buying and selling, and you could run into somebody at the gas station and sell them a house. Well, now you've actually got to be fairly skilled to get transactions done. I would say the first thing anybody new coming to the business, they need to get a coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the quickest shortcut to success is hire a high level coach. It's worth spending money to hire someone that's done what you're trying to do. And it just gets you, it's the quickest shortcut to being successful.
Yeah.
Or join a high level mastermind.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, we talk about that all the time. Like even at our level, right? We're in masterminds. We spend thousands and thousands of dollars a year, you know, coaching and getting mentored. So I couldn't agree 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know being a real estate agent's a demanding career, right? How do you balance it? How do you do it all? How do you manage your family?
And Caleb loves to have fun too.
And have you have fun.
I used to you brought up earlier that I was a grinder. Like I really used to just grind my way to doing deals and being fairly successful. But in the last couple years, I've had to learn how to build businesses and put people in positions to succeed to where it didn't all revolve around me doing all the work mm-hmm. and me generating all the sales. So I've had to, I guess, step back and see the business from a higher level moving pieces than me actually being, I guess, the hamster on the wheel the whole time. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does. And how do you, especially as an agent, how do you do that well? Because I think as an agent, people think like, I want to hire Caleb because, you know, I've seen his stuff. I know he's top producer, all these things, but it you can't do it all, right? It's your team so how do you, still get the client to come to you, right? Because you're maybe the front end of it. Or how do you separate you and then the rest of your team? Because I know that's I was just speaking with somebody else the other day that runs a consulting business, and everybody wants to hire him, and he's trying to scale his company. And the problem that he's really struggling with is he's got two other people that do the same thing he does, but nobody wants to work with them. They want to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
But so how do you, you know, how do you manage that?
I mean, I just tell when people do come directly to me, they're actually, and this is the truth, they're in better hands with my buyer's agents or some of my listing agents than I am, just because those guys are just so entrenched in the business right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm more of the idea guy and overseeing the team and running the team and making sure all parts of the team are running well. And then we've got an awesome back-end staff that's handling like the listing coordination, the closing coordination, and then our director of operations is awesome. So it's a team effort. Mm-hmm. Nobody just gets me in a transaction with us. And you really don't want me. You want the team working on your behalf.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
I know it's nothing you prepared for, but the questions that keep coming to my mind while I have you is like, so I'm just curious, doing that many transactions, I know a big pain point, I think, for a lot of us, like somebody like myself that sells a lot of rental homes, you know, the inspection period, right? It's always an awkward, uncomfortable. How do you and your company manage that for your clients, the inspection part of it? I'm going more deeper into your business, but I'm just curious, you know.
I mean, the biggest thing on that is not just letting a buyer or seller do an inspection and then just dropping an inspection report in their lap and letting them make decisions. It's an inspection report is only as bad as you make it sound to the buyer or as you make it sound to the seller. So prepping the sellers that, hey, they're going to send you a laundry list of things for you to fix. That doesn't mean you have to fix everything. Don't panic. We're going to go get quotes. So on the buy side and on the sell side, we send out an email before the inspection report is done, prepping the clients for how the process is going to look. Like on the buy side, you're going to get a 95-page inspection report that's going to look really scary. We're going to help you digest it and understand it and tell you what we think is going to be most important or something that might be like safety or structural that you need to handle. And then on the sales side, it's, hey, don't get upset when the buyers ask you to fix everything. You're not going to be required to do it. Let us help guide you through the process. And it's really helped soften the blow because you know how emotional a home sale is and how people get all pissed off and just upset when they're asked to do a bunch of stuff because they think they've already sold the house for X price and now they're getting asked to do $1,000 worth of work.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, you're going to see, I think during these times too, you see a lot more contracts bust out as well. Right. Which, I mean, this is a market for the pros. So what are you and your teams doing to, I mean, frankly, you're probably having to train the other agent on the other side, right, to make these deals work. So, you know, because they're not as skilled as you guys are.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time, our guys are walking through the house and can kind of point out the things that will come up on the inspection report. Like if you have a buyer that you show a house to and you can obviously see the roof is going to need to be replaced, if you tell them the roof is needed to be replaced before you get started, makes it a lot easier.
Right.
Let them make their offer based on the roof needing to be replaced or the HVAC needing a replacement. But if they make an offer based on just them wanting the house and then the inspection report comes back and they ask for a $20,000 roof, it just sets your deal up for failure. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I loved what you said before that with the just getting ahead of it. And I think that's, you know, we try to do that in the property management company with our proactive communication that's something I'm not doing in our turnkey side of it is I'm not, I should be prepping, our clients for the inspection. We prep it when we send the inspection, we prep it all in there, but I would do it so much better if I prepped them ahead of time with an email on what to expect. Here's what you, I think that'd be huge. So
like a don't panic.
Don't panic.
FAQ email really can save you a lot of questions, a lot of calls into your staff.
Yeah, that's sweet. So, no, thank you for that.
Caleb, I have a question. Like, if you can go back in your early 20s, I mean, you're still young, but if you go back in your early 20s, what advice would you give yourself?
Hire a coach earlier.
Earlier, okay.
Yeah, and invest and buy and hold more than I did. It took me about 6-7 years in making a lot of other people a lot of money before we really started buying stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've sold a lot of really good deals to a lot of people where I made a $3,000 commission and they made $100,000 profit on a flip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's huge. I think for agents, especially to know what they get so consumed with just generating the commissions that they're stepping over
dollars, picking up pennies.
Yeah, because it's like, and then even just, I think as salespeople, you know, reinvesting some of that money that you're making all those years, rather than, especially if you're young, or starting off young, and you have that energy and you're grinding and you're producing income, you know, putting it away and investing it, which, I think you tell us about some of the long-term stuff you've, I know you've been active late in the last couple of years, and what are you looking to purchase long-term? Are you doing mainly apartments and mobile homes or Airbnbs? Is there a particular focus for you or?
Yeah, great question. So we started off, I started off picking up single families, and then we built a portfolio of like 12 to 15 homes. Mm-hmm. Well, I got the P&L out on 12 to 15 single families. And I think they net about $1,600 for a 12 month period on that many single family homes combined. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that math doesn't work. And then we started picking up duplexes, quadplexes, sevenplexes, and the math got better. And then it just seems like the bigger the deal, the better the numbers have turned out. So then we started buying some low-end apartment complexes, 15-plexes to 35-plexes, built in like the 60s to 80s. And they turned into big, expensive, heavy, call them how you add.
Probably
apartment headed. Complexes. And they, but then we try to make them nice and fill them. And then the collections are bad because they're not in great areas. Yeah. I mean, y'all know.
I'm dealing with several of those right now.
And now it's like, all right, why didn't I just buy 1990s and newer product where it's more of like a B plus class tenant. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of our bread and butter now. So I'm more, our buy box has changed drastically. And when we buy mobile home parks, I don't buy the mobile homes. We buy something and we just own the pads and we do lot rent. Yeah. That way people take care of their own mobile homes when they break and we just collect lot rent.
That's cool.
Yeah. I see on there as well. You do some Airbnbs. Are you kind of slowing down with that?
I mean, those were more we bought for personal use and then weren't using them. So we just slapped them on Airbnb and taking some income from them.
Yeah.
That's not a big money generator for us.
So tell us, we asked a particular set of questions to all our guests, but what's your next? What are you looking to accomplish in the next 5 years?
I'm really trying to get the businesses set up to where they're not depending on me much at all, other than to run the actual weekly meetings, and then continue to build our portfolio, because I'd love to get our portfolio to where it's running X amount of where it's making X amount of dollars net every month, and kind of use that as my nest egg.
And is there any, as for sales training, is there anything you would recommend that people can get really great sales training today?
You know, I've gotten good sales training from each individual mastermind that I've been through. Like Collective Genius has been really good going through Eric Brewer's training, Steve Trang's training. And then on the retail side, we did like Mike Ferry, Tom Ferry for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then Jay Kinder Reese was kind of my main coach for a long time on the retail side.
That's cool. That's
awesome. Any current books?
The apartment side has been like Tim Brotts, mm-hmm. Corey Peterson, mm-hmm. and Ron Phillips have all been
all big mentors. Are really good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Any current books that you're reading that maybe our listeners can benefit from?
I read Dan Kennedy's No BS Time Management for like the third time.
Wow.
Ago. That one's a really, really good one. That's been a big help in building a business where it hasn't been based around me.
Yeah.
That's sweet. That's the first time that one's been mentioned.
Yeah, so, that's good.
That's good. So how can people get a hold of you, Caleb, and work with you if they're looking to invest or need an agent in the South Carolina market? In what markets do you particularly work?
On our investment side, like our multifamily and mobile home parks, we pretty much mostly buy in the Southeast and the Midwest.
Okay.
And then as far as our retail brokerage, only Charleston. So, but anywhere in South Carolina, if you've got someone looking to buy, sell, I've got friends that I can relay them to.
Awesome.
Right. Well, excited to have you on today, Caleb. You've added so much value to our listeners today. And any last minute advice you would like to give?
No, I think we're good.
Awesome.
What websites, just so I can put them in the show notes, can people get a hold of you at?
Yeah, they can just email me at calebcpteam@gmail.com. Cool. I'm usually pretty quick to respond. So if anybody needs anything, I'm always here to help. Or check out our app at zoomoffersnow.com.
Yeah, cool. Nice. Tell us about that.
Yeah.
I skipped over it, but just real quick, what is, can you tell me what that's more about that, the Zoom offer?
So long story short, a couple years ago, I was going on like 30, 40 listing appointments a month, and there'd be one to two of them that was super motivated that I knew would take an investor offer if we put an investor offer in front of them, but they wanted to put the house on the MLS. So if I'm finding that percentage of motivated sellers and just the people I'm meeting with directly, and the MLS has, call it 3,000 active listings, every one of those sellers has raised their hand and said, I want to sell. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
So I said, all right, how can I get an offer in front of all 3,000 of them without individually hopping on a Zip Forms or a Dot Loop and typing up an offer, sending it to myself to sign, and then emailing it off to the listing agent?
Yeah, which is a headache.
You don't know what someone's willing to take without getting an offer in front of them.
Right.
So I hired a developer to build an app to where in a couple clicks, you can send out 30,000 offers that'll sign the contract, lay it in the listing agent's email, and then all you do is field counters all day. Or you can individually do them and just say 123 Main Street, click, 85,000, click, and it'll sign it and send it off individually. But I mean, you know, Joni, how long it takes to write an offer.
Yeah.
That's cool. So it just streamlines that whole process for you and to do massive amounts at one time.
Yep.
That's cool.
Everybody says the way to get more deals, just make more offers. So this is just a
Yeah, that just cuts that, straight to the point.
That was gold right there. Thanks for sharing. See?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So now we'll put that in the show notes and any social media. Are you active on social?
Instagram and Facebook.
Awesome. We'll put the links to that in the notes as well. So again, we appreciate it. Anything we can ever do for you, please let us know. And thank you for taking the time today.
Yes, cool. Thank you. And see you next time, everyone.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.